Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live. The Edge of Reality here on the NDB Media Network on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. And, of course, Thursday means that it's one step closer to the weekend. So happy weekend to everyone as well. Hey, we have a good show. We have a big show. We have a lot to catch up on. Of course, last week we had the amazing Jillian Larson on for Reality Rally, realityrally.com, to get all the information. And you can go to our archives on iTunes or on blogtalkradio.com to listen to the entire interview. She comes on every year, talks to us about Reality Rally, and it's always awesome. And we did an interview with her, and that was great. But we didn't talk about any shows for the past couple weeks. So we got Survivor to discuss. We got Top Chef, which, by the way, the finale is tonight. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not going to be talking about who won because it's still going on as we speak. We've got the challenge to talk about. We've got The Voice. So much more to discuss. So we got a ton. But before we do anything else, I got to say hello and good evening to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Ola, just sitting here waiting to talk to you. It's an exciting evening here in Indiana. How about you?
Well, you know, here I am. I'm excited. Talking to Jillian was so much fun last week, and I really encourage people, if you didn't listen to the show, go back on the archive and listen to it. It was so great. But I've been jonesing to talk some reality TV. So I'm happy we're here and we're rolling.
That's a black-ass terminology, man. I haven't heard that in a long time.
I'm 95 years old, so I say things like that.
Unfortunately, I knew what 95. You were talking about.
I know. Hopefully most of our listeners, you know, I understand. It's a dated reference. That's how I roll. Before we really get started, just a couple of quick housekeeping things that I want to bring to your attention. As I said before, Top Chef finale is this week, and we'll talk more in depth a little bit later about, you know, my overall thoughts on the season and everything like that. But keep your eye out on that. Tonight starts the premiere of the brand new Project Runway back on Bravo, where it was originally held. You know, Carly Kloss and Nina Garcia is still there as it should be. But new people, new judges, new network. So if you haven't watched it in a very long time, I'm very curious to see what the new look, what the new feel is, especially since Project Runway All-Stars is still airing on Lifetime. So that's interesting to have like two – I think it's kind of a rare thing to have two shows in the same franchise airing on two different networks. So kind of interesting. But if you haven't seen it in a while, I'm very curious to check it out. So I'm just bringing that to your attention. Big Brother fans, Big Brother Canada started last week. Tonight, Thursday nights are the eviction episodes. There are live, or not live, well, Thursday's episode is live, but Sunday and Monday are there other episodes during the week. It's relatively easy show to catch. Unlike a lot of other international shows. So if you're a Big Brother fan and you want to check it out, the easiest way to watch is either on YouTube or on BB Viewer, which is an app that you can download onto your computer. And via that, you can see not only the shows themselves, but you can catch the feeds as well. You can watch feeds. It is no cost because in Canada, just like healthcare, I guess, the feeds are free. The only difference is you can definitely feel the fact that feeds are free because they are free. They black out sometimes for days on end to hide whatever eviction or whatever twist that they want to hide. So that's the downside of that. But the upside of that is you can watch them on BB Viewer, which is kind of cool. So if you are a Big Brother person, definitely check that out. And then tomorrow night, I believe, starts MasterChef Junior. I'm not a big MasterChef Junior person. I, as we've discussed, longtime listeners know, I'm not really a big reality fan when it comes to kids shows. I don't love it. So I don't watch it. Although I watch the regular MasterChef, so I'm looking forward to that. And then another upcoming show that's happening, which I wanted to get, you know, we like to, Priscilla and I like to promote new shows, especially shows that, you know, that are non-singing related, because that's what we tend to get lately is the new, like, talent shows and things like that. But on Tuesday night, March 19th, it starts the premiere of a show on Fox called Mental Samurai. And I wanted to bring that to your attention. Mental Samurai, the description, contestants battle the boundaries of their minds to answer questions accurately with speed and precision while being physically transported around the set at high speeds in a specially designed capsule capable of rotating 360 degrees. I don't know what the hell that is. But I'll watch it.
I was saying, but you're going to watch it.
Of course. Of course I will watch it. You know, answering questions by, you know, while you're being ricocheted around in a special capsule, I'm in. Why not? Why not? I watched two episodes of The Masked Singer, after all. So why wouldn't I do this as well? Come on. Give it up to Fox. Fox always takes care of me for weird, crazy reality shows. So thank you, Fox, for that. So I will definitely be watching, and I will definitely give you a report on Thursday night. But don't wait for me to watch. Don't say to yourselves, all right, guys, Allie has this. I don't have to worry about this. I'll wait until Allie watches and gives us a report. No, I need you with me. I need you to watch the premiere, and then I need you to tell me what you think as well. This is a two-way street here. If I'm watching it, I feel like, you know, everybody's got to give it a try. So let's go. Let's figure it out. Let's figure it out. So anyway, that's my quick and dirty kind of what's new report. Did you like that, P?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm preoccupied.
Oh, boy.
I was trying to catch up on all the day's events.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. So I know that we're going to spend some time on Survivor, but I want to bring up the challenge just real quick, just to talk about it for a couple of minutes.
It's actually kind of crazy this season.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up, because I actually earlier this week read a really great kind of think piece on the challenge on thehollywoodreporter.com, THR.com, and it was written by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yes.
Really?
That Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the legendary basketball player, he is a really great writer. He does think pieces for THR quite frequently. I also found out that he has written, like, children's books about sport, well, young adult books about sports and things like that. So he's really taking on a second career as a writer, which is awesome. And he did this great, I totally recommend this article about the challenge that he wrote. And essentially, I'm not going to give you all the details because I do want you to read it, but I really liked his take. His take really summarized nicely how I feel about this season, which is he kind of, you know, went on to say that he has watched several episodes of the challenge, that he has been a fan of the challenge, and he explains some of the reasons why he's a fan of it. And one of the reasons why is because, you know, the repeated contestants so that you get to know them over the course of several seasons and you see their journey, their growth arc, whatever you want to call it. And he pointed out, which I thought was kind of amazing, two legendary challenge contestants and how different they are in terms of their journey, one being CT, who he said, you know, you watch, and actually nothing made me older than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar putting in the article that CT started in the Real World Paris season in 2002. I mean, holy God, the man has been around for a while. He talked about how, you know, it started in Paris in 2002, was on the challenge. He has been thrown out of many challenges, and now he's become like this, like voice of reason in the house. Like, you've seen him mature over the course, and how it's been awesome to watch and how he loves it. And then he talks about Johnny Bananas and as someone that has like arrested development, essentially, this, like, you know, has not matured at all since being in the house, and gives reasons about that, which I thought was a great burn on Bananas. I thought you would enjoy that, Priscilla. And
yeah, anything that's going to put a burn on Bananas, I'm all for.
Exactly. But he's gone on to say his take is that he doesn't love this season of the challenge. And he doesn't love it because it kind of gets away from what the challenge is. And it's now more about taking a bunch of people from various reality shows who just want to be on this show to gain more social media followers, and how everything this season, everything anyone does or says is kind of the basis of, you know, can I get the most Instagram followers so I can sell my, I can be an influencer. I can sell my, you know, Fit Fab box or my, my, you know, my tummy tea. And, but he says, I'm summarizing because I definitely want you guys to read the article, and he brings up a lot of great points. But what he essentially says about that, it encapsulates a lot of my feelings on this season, because I agree with him. I loved the idea of having a bunch of different people from a bunch of different reality shows on, because I knew a lot of the people going on, especially the Big Brother people and the Bachelor people and whatnot. And I thought it was fun and kind of cool. But I feel what he's saying in regards to a lot of the drama is 100% manufactured in a way that I haven't quite seen it before. And just look to this Kyle, Cara Maria, Pauly love triangle happening. Look no further than that, where you can kind of see how this kind of triangle, how it's kind of moving forward, how it's just kind of this call for like fame. And he mentions Amanda, he mentions Ashley, he mentions a bunch of different people in his article. So check it out. But I agree with him in the respect that I definitely feel like a lot of what people are doing is for outside of game purposes and not inside of game purposes. And it makes the show hard to follow, because a lot of the relationships, a lot of the fighting, a lot of the things happen off camera, and it's not the easiest to kind of get to know people's relationships and people's intentions because of it. But, and I want to get your take on this too, Priscilla, this Cara Maria, Kyle, Pauly feud, love triangle, whatever the case may be, I absolutely hate it. And I absolutely feel like this, it's kind of stalling the rest of the season, because we're not able to see a lot of other characters, and we're not really, but the three of them need each other to be in the game in order to perpetuate their storyline. So Yeah, when Kyle had the perfect opportunity to call out Kara 2 weeks ago, he didn't take it. And yes, he said it's because he still cares about the girl or has feelings about the girl or whatever he said, but it was absolute nonsense. It was because if Kara leaves the game, Kyle's storyline is essentially over. There's no more airtime for Kyle if Kara is not there. And vice versa, Polly is the same way, Kara is the same way. And I think because that's actively happening so much, it's really changing the dynamic of the game in a way that I'm not loving this season. I want to know your take, Priscilla.
Well, the whole time that you're sitting here describing this takes me back a few years ago when I was trying to describe how I once felt about The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and
sure.
how I had to retrain my brain to think of it more of a comedy show because of the same issue. But, and I've said, I have alluded to this many times on all the reality housewife shows or whatever, that we have gotten away, because it sells, we have gotten away from the true essence of why they started some of these shows. For an example, the business end of all the housewives when they originally started, we got to see. Now that's the furthest thing from anybody's viewing pleasure. It's all about, you know, who can yell at who the loudest. Well, Matt, and 90% of the time you can't even hear what they're saying because they're screaming over each other. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and now you are getting older to where it bothers you a little bit. But if you notice, there are less and less games or challenges actually going on, which I brought this up before, and it's more about what is going on in the house and not about the challenges. And we always like the challenges that they give us. And they were more extensive than what you would get, say, on Big Brother or even Survivor. So, I mean, these are dangling in the air and over water and all this stuff, and they're a lot more cool to see, and they're getting away from that portion of it. Now, to broach the subject of, say, CT and your big bananas going home and all this, I actually feel the opposite. I like to see them get out of the game and see them play the game. But unfortunately, we're not seeing them play the game. We're seeing them have their dramatic moments. We're not actually seeing the game play. Like Cam, I would love to take this season, but in previous seasons, I'd have loved just to have a camera follow her around to see where she comes up with some of these shit. Because she is a gamer. Down and out. And it was really cool to see Nani call her out on this relationship about it being game, because she's a smart game player. So is it? Those are the things that I'm more apt to want to see. I'm all for some of the house stuff because it plays hand in hand. But this drama, they could cut it out and I could care less. We already know where the relationships are with Pauly, Kyle, and Cara Maria. We know where they're at today. I could give two shits what they were 6 months ago.
So I feel a little bit differently about it because I'm cool with drama. I like the drama when it comes from a natural place. You know,
right.
Inherently having so many people living together, competing, there is real drama
totally.
To be had. I think
totally.
That, though, what we're seeing a lot more is this meta
it's
kind
organic.
Of, well, right. It's organic. Exactly. But I think what we're seeing now is this meta, this idea of if the three of us stick together, it's strategic, not game wise, but life wise. If the three of us stick together, we are going to get more airtime on this show. If we get more airtime on this show, this will allow us to make more money off of the show. And so it no longer becomes this, like, let's play the game. It's like, hey, the game we can make more money doing things outside of the show at this point than what we can make on the show itself, playing the game itself. So let's use this to our advantage. I mean, it's not a terrible idea. Why not get your money while you can, except for I think it leads to not as fun of a situation because it's way less organic, way less natural, and it's more about, okay, I need to stick with these people for time. You know, we're both Big Brother feed watchers. Definitely, I would say there's been a big change in the last, I would say definitely two seasons, but definitely maybe even three seasons, where you see people in the feeds talking about social media, what's going to change once they get out of the house, how many people are going to be following them, the opportunities that they are going to have, that kind of stuff. That was not a conversation that was had even 3 years ago. That is something that is very new. The more that reality is occurring, the more that people have an understanding of what they can do to parlay their fame into other opportunities. And again, I'd be doing the same thing if I were them, because what else are they going to do? Of course, they got to make money how they can. Why not? But it makes for a worse end product when people are so aware of their place in the game after the fact. So it's less about what's going on in the present, but what could be going on in the future. So we're seeing that, and I think that is really hindering this season a lot, because we have a season where everybody is on different reality shows. Everybody has a full understanding of what their social media and that can do for their success or fame or money or whatever that is. And they wouldn't be on the challenge in the first place if it wasn't for these things that they already have in place. So they have to go bigger if they want to stay relevant. They have to go bigger. You know, I was listening to RHNC has a – go ahead.
Polly and they are great at the game, like at the challenges. I mean, like, he's cocky and he's arrogant and all that, but his gameplay when he's actually doing the challenges is awesome. He doesn't need to go over the top like
that. He does. To stay relevant, to stay, you know, because he has I think he writes a blog for people.com. He has all of these things that he wouldn't otherwise have, you know, if he didn't do these things. So, and I think he, you know, I think that he would be absolutely fine with Kyle. If this wasn't about what, I would care less about Kyle. I really don't. I don't think he sees Kyle as a threat. I think he thinks that, like, he has to perpetuate this feud because this is what he has to stay relevant. Yeah, like I was saying, I was listening to RHAP, Rob has a podcast, and they have a challenge podcast, and I don't listen to podcasts before we do ours because I don't want to say the same things they're saying, but they have a challenge podcast, which is really funny and I love. And they were talking about Natalie from a couple weeks ago and her partner JP leaving, and how, you know, Natalie got like zero airtime this year. And her previous two seasons, she got a ton of airtime,
right,
because she was kind of caught up in a ton of drama. And they were saying, like, yeah, I don't think that we're going to see Natalie come back. You know, like, Natalie didn't bring anything to the table this time, even though in her previous seasons, you know, she was kind of all over the place. And she had this relationship with Johnny, but that kind of fizzled out, and then she had she had these things that nothing, we didn't see her at all. And they were like, yeah, it wasn't a good showing, and she might not be on because of that. And, you know, for someone like Natalie, that sucks for her. You know, that's a career move for her that she won't, you know, she might not get another opportunity at. So, you know, they're just trying to make sure that they get invited back They're trying to make sure that they get invited on other reality shows. They're trying to make sure that they get their money. And because of this, the meta part of all this, I think it's making for a less interesting show itself. So, I want to encourage you guys to go to THR.com, read Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's article, because it was very interesting, very cool, and I related to and agreed with a lot of what he said about the challenge. But, Priscilla, you know, real talk. Ratings are up for the challenge this season. Ratings are actually pretty strong, some of the strongest in a while. So,
something that I hated about when I first started watching the challenge. I mean, I watched it for a couple of seasons, and then I got away from it, and then you kind of got me back into it. So one reason why I stopped watching it is because I can remember it was the same thing. You go into the house and all these rookies, and then you have all the vets huddled over in a corner planning the entire season exactly how it's going to go, and that's how it went. And then there was a little bit of spark of, like, you know, an underdog thing, but there was never that underdog feeling because you knew the rookies were going to go home. It was always the same people planning out the game, planning out the season, and it going exactly that way. Hence is why I stopped watching. So I like this season in the avenue that they're not afraid to throw a bananas in a challenge and send his ass home in the beginning of the season, regardless of whether he's good ratings or not. And the thing that's so funny is he is so bitter. Like, when he goes online after an episode is aired and he's just bitter, like, he's throwing shade everywhere. Granted, that's his thing. That's how he makes his money. I get it. But it's comical to me. That's what I like about it. It's changing it up.
Well, see, here's the thing. The major difference is back in the day, they felt other contestants felt they needed him to perpetuate stories and to help them with their airtime or whatever. And now what they're finding, and it's true, like, whenever Bananas is there, Bananas is the narrator of the season. Bananas is the go-to guy for confessionals, the go-to guy for everything. And with him not being there, it pushes him out of the way and it brings more people into the forefront. So it's actually beneficial. Like, they're not having vets. They're targeting vets because having vets leave is more airtime for them. It makes sense. You know,
it's not,
I
bananas in one basket either. And that's what I love.
Right. I agree with you. I like the fact that we are now seeing different groups of people. You know, we have this UK contingent where, you know, the group from the UK are standing strong. The vets are so fragmented that there's several different kind of alliances within the vets. You know, there's a lot of, like, fracture happening. Interesting. I agree with you. I'm just enjoying it less this season because it feels just a little bit more manufactured. That being said, the challenges have been great this season. I love what the last few seasons, they have really stepped up their game athletically. It's like the people that are there know what to expect, and they are working hard. There's a level of athleticism that we didn't have 10 seasons ago, especially for the female competitors. And I really appreciate that. I mean, we have so many strong, great female competitors this season. And previous years, if we had Kara, maybe if Laurel was on the season, we had Laurel. Maybe if Nicole was on the scene, you know, like, we had, you know, Jenna, you know, maybe we had two or three, and that was huge, and that was amazing.
No, I mean, you know, there's so many. The new one, the new women, the vets, everybody. And that's kind of cool. So I'm digging that every year that the to make this happen. And because of that, the challenge is also stepping up their game in terms of, you know, the endurance and what they're making people do. And I dig that. That's a component of the show that I love. So I'm not gonna take anything away from that, which is cool. Anything else you want to say before we move on?
I think the other day when I was watching it, I can't think of anything right now. I'll think of it in a minute when you start on something else, though.
Of course.
Because there was something that had me boiling, and I can't remember what it was, so I'll think of it.
All right. Well, we'll come back to it. We'll come back to it. I want to talk some Survivor. We haven't watched in a couple weeks. We got a tribe swap this week, going from two teams to three. Yeah, again, longtime listeners know Priscilla and I are of three tribe, but I was kind of looking forward to this one because we were getting one tribe completely decimated, and it happened to be Kelly Wentworth's tribe, and I wanted her to, you know, have a week off. But lo and behold, we had, and I don't think we've ever seen this in a three tribe swap before. One tribe ended up on a third tribe. So there was no mix at all. All of the members were from the same tribe, and they lost. So here we go. Four tribes, four tribal councils in a row. Four tribal councils in a row. This group of people, including Wentworth and David and Lauren and, you know, and Wardog, they end up at tribal council again. And I was like, oh, my God, how could this happen? Jesus Christ, what are the odds? So it was such a weird episode because it was you were like, oh, my God, it's the same thing all over again. So now we're just going to really have to wait it out until the merge to see what happens. Because, I mean, that tribe is just going to continuously get decimated. No, might see something where
it didn't even sound like that Wentworth was even, like, considered to be on the chopping block, which was really weird.
Well, it really seems like Wardog and Lauren are and Wentworth are a little trio. So they were not going. I was a little surprised that David wasn't more in the mix. I thought that he would be the person to go instead of Rick. I didn't really quite understand why Rick was leaving, except for he was, you know, not with Wentworth and that crew. I thought David was going to be the person that was going to go. For a minute there, I did think Wardog was, there was some editing stuff where I thought, Wardog is really getting played as like the swing vote. He could go either way. Maybe they're going to turn the tables on him. But didn't happen. And, you know, Manu has all of their original tribe members still. And we've seen this before. We've seen this on, Brains Beauty. What would the third be? Braun, Brains Beauty Braun. We saw this here, okay, where we saw Spencer and Tasha, you know, their entire tribe get decimated. And then they came back and, yeah, everybody wanted to work with them because they were essentially swing votes. So maybe we see a situation where the merge finally happens and Karma, you know, the remaining members of Karma kind of get you know, moved to different places and Manu starts eating its own. Wendy's going to be super interesting because Wendy is going to move over. She is 100% going to like jump to the other side, the other tribe. You know, she hates her tribe. you know, she's someone that can definitely be a swing vote. And that play is going to be interesting. And then another thing that I'm using interesting a lot, very quick succession, but it's going to be interesting. I really thought that at least one returning player was going to go home pre-merge. And I thought that person was going to be Wentworth, I'm not going to lie. But I thought if the other tribe lost, Aubrey was going to go home. And we most likely, I could be wrong, but most likely we're going to go into a merge with all four returning players still in the game. So, you know, that we'll see what happens with that. We'll see where that goes. Next week is a 2-hour episode, which we usually have a 2-hour episode, but usually it's later in the season. So I don't know. I don't know if that means that they were going to get the well, there wasn't a preview for the Edge of Extinction people coming back to the game. I'm sure they would talk that up if that was the case. I thought maybe this is where we see whatever competition or whatever is going to happen for the Edge of Extinction people. Priscilla, I'm assuming that it's a competition, but do you think that maybe it's not a competition and there's another way that they're getting back into the game?
I've been kind of pondering about how I was kind of hoping that they are a tribe of themselves and they got to battle it out. Does that make sense? And that
we talked about that
yeah.
We thought that maybe they would form their own tribe and they would become like they dissolve the tribes, the you know, they do a couple more eliminations, and then the three tribes go back to two, and then there's a third tribe of just those people, and then they come back in. I just can't imagine all of them coming back in to fight.
Yeah,
so.
I know. I don't know how they would play that out, but I don't know. They're really setting it up about, you know, how, you know, the one comes in and they're all hated, you know, two of them hate them kind of thing. The way they're setting it up is just really weird to me. I can't make a play on it. Because they're making a special point of making sure that, you know, yeah, you come here, but you're the reason we're here kind of thing, which we've, you know, they've had that in Exile before, and I don't remember that being like a drilling point like it is this time.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
so
I agree.
I'm trying to read between the lines of what that means, and I'm not getting anything.
Traditionally, too, the pre-merge, a lot of women were in pre-merge. And men start getting picked off during, like, right before the merge and then going into merge. And that's not the case. We have Reem and then we have three men. And I don't know if maybe they were planning to do like an endurance or a balance. I'm sure it's some sort of combination of a couple different elements, because that's how Survivor goes with a physical and then a puzzle. I don't know. I just feel like there's got to be something a little bit more. I think that, you know, is the payoff somebody winning after enduring this deserted island, is the payoff that they put together a puzzle and somebody's back in and everybody else goes? I just feel like there has to be something more to this. I don't know. Maybe the people that are still in the game vote for who comes back in. I don't know. I that doesn't seem super interesting either. I hope that there's a payoff to these people kind of hanging out on the island, besides seeing like a couple minutes every week of them struggling on the island. You know, I hope there's something more to it.
Right. And another thing that is actually, and I know that we've like, especially with Top Chef and things like this, the thing that bothers me the most is those that can hang on. Okay, say Wentworth hangs on till whenever this decides to happen of who comes back, you know, and then she goes out and then, or anybody, but that's who I'm using as an example. And then there's no more exile. Like, there's no second chances for the ones that actually can make it the furthest or further than the others that are on exile. And then they all go to exile and compare all these notes and come back, and then they have a vendetta against the one. And then that person doesn't have a chance to save themselves. Does that make sense? You know,
sure.
I mean, we said,
you know, that's
like
my number one.
And all of that. It is getting more bothersome to me.
Well, you know, that's my number one issue with Last Chance Kitchen for Top Chef is that idea of, like, somebody comes back into the game, but what about the other, you know, 10 chefs that didn't have an opportunity for a second chance? You know, I at least with the Redemption Island, you were competing every week. So as people were leaving and you were fighting to stay. You know, I didn't love Redemption Island, but at least there was something every week where you were, you know, you battled back in, and then you came back in, and then, you know, you most likely just turned around and went right back out, which is most likely what's going to happen in this situation, too. I hope that there's a payoff more than just, oh, ha, 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 they stayed on a desert island for a few days and, like, you know, really had a terrible time of it, and then they couldn't put together a puzzle, and now they're gone for real. You know,
right.
I hope there's something more to it. I'm kind of waiting for, like, a secret advantage or something to be found on Extinction Island, or some sort of clue that leads to something else, and it becomes like a scavenger hunt. I don't know. I'm kind of waiting for something along those lines. But right now I don't see a ton of payoff in this Extinction Island, you know, twist or island or whatever we're going to consider it. I'm not seeing a ton of huge payoff in the game so far. We'll see. I will wait, though, until it plays out before I judge it too quickly.
Fair enough.
But I just so far, though, you know, and I think we've talked about this before. There's some, like, Survivor purists who, you know, they get upset when they get more rice, or they get upset when they get a tarp, or, you know, they want to see the survivalist aspect to it. I'm not here for that. I don't necessarily need to see people suffer. You know, like, I don't need, like, that, the, like, watching people starve is not, like, my idea of a good time. Like, it's not, you know, so, because there's not a real danger element, because people are not going to really starve to death. It's going to be stopped before it gets to that point. So, you know, I'm waiting to see what that is. You know, what's the payoff to all of this, all of these people just kind of roaming around and getting, you know, a significant chunk of the show devoted to it. I mean, there were, like, two segments about this show, about this island, this episode. You know, there were, I mean, they came back to it twice. We saw it happen. And, you know,
well,
I'm looking for some payoff.
I'm still pivved that it's taking away from my end of routine of knowing who votes for her, for who, and all that. That just is pivoting me.
Yeah, agreed. I don't like it. I don't like the whole end part of it, because of course they're going to stay in the game. I don't find it to be like this big reveal for them to go to a fork in the road and see a sign and read it. And then, you know, you saw Rick. He was like, yep. it wasn't even a question. You know, of course it's not a question. I feel like the bigger reveal is that you don't even ask. You just put them on a boat. They think they're going to another island or whatever. They think that they're done with the game. And then all of a sudden they end up on this deserted island with the rest of the, you know, the people who have been eliminated. I feel like that's a way bigger reveal and a way bigger, like, oh my God, I'm still in the game moment, than just somebody reading a sign and going this way to the game being done, and this game, this way you're going to still have life in the game. Because everybody's going to choose, you know, they're all going to choose the same answer. That's my pet peeve with that. But I agree with you. I want to see how people vote in the end. And this kind of last 30 seconds is taking away from it. So I agree with you.
There are some traditions I just like. Let's just say that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just bummed that the same tribe keeps on going to tribal council. It's just such a bummer. Now I'm just kind of like, let's get to merge and let's see what happens. I'm not particularly loving this season so far. I just think that there's, you know, there's nothing amazing or miraculous has happened. And I'm not like fully invested in the characters just because we haven't gotten to see a lot of them. One, because the same tribe has gone to council every time, and two, because we have returning players to play with, and then three, we have Edge of Extinction to have. So it's a lot of airtime taking away in a lot of different directions. So I haven't really connected with a lot of the contestants, and the ones that we have connected with, I'm not super. I liked Lauren until this past week when she was complaining. I didn't love that. It made me not love Lauren. But I thought I dug the fact that she had an idol.
I was like, Lauren who? I haven't seen anything of her. Who the hell is she? That was what I thought.
She got the idol.
I know she got the idol. That's about the only storyline she had.
Yeah, but I like her relationship with Wentworth and War Dog. Like, I think she's positioned herself well in a tribe that continuously loses. You know, and then this week the homesickness thing. I was like, I could live without that. I don't need someone who is perceived to be strong be shown as weak. Like, I don't necessarily need that. So I was like, that sucks. I'm kind of back to I don't really know who I'm rooting for beyond Wentworth, but you know, rooting for Wentworth is a fool's errand. It's not going to last very long, and I need to accept it.
It stresses me out too much. I can't root for her. It stresses me out too much.
I agree. Having her here, as much as I love Wentworth, as much as I love her, It does kind of weird me out this season, because it does stress me out the fact that she's there. And for me, it's not even more of like, I'm going to be so bummed out when she leaves. It's more about like this. I can't think of another example in Survivor history. Oh, Sarah Lucina is probably that example. Sorry, I take that back. Where the second time someone plays the game is so much more epic than the first time. Usually we get the exact opposite. You know, somebody plays the game, they're amazing, they do it the second time, and they either go out earlier than they should, or they, you know, it's a rarity that on the second time people just are just amazing in every standpoint. And Sarah Lucina from Game Changers is an example of that, where she went out merge the first time around and then she won the second time around. But, you know, Wentworth, she was out like third her original season. She was out third. And then Second Chances comes and she just kills it, and it's epic and she's amazing, and what a great season for her. And I don't want her... I don't want her legend to be watered down by a third time not being good. It screws up the averages. So So that's my basic issue with it. I know she's not going to win, and I'm relatively okay with that because I always like new players to win against vets. But, you know, it just screws up her averages. Like, I need her to get the merge, and then I need her to do, like, one or two, like, cool things, and I'm going to be like, okay. Like, it didn't destroy her image. I'm cool. I'm cool with that. I can handle that. So we'll see. Even Sandra. You know, Sandra won twice in a row. She goes a third time, and you're like, what the hell are you doing, Sandra? You're not going to win again. Why are you back? And then she goes pre-merge. But at least before she goes pre-merge, she does a lot of cool things. Sandra, for God's sakes. She gets into fights. She was crazy. She did, you know, she had awesome confessionals. And you're like, all right, cool. Sandra, come back 17 more times. I know that you're not going to win, but, you know, it's going to be fun. Let's go for a ride together. It's going to be fun. But, yeah, I just need Wentworth. But so far she hasn't really been able to be super fun because she's been, you know, losing and constantly in fear of her safety in the game. So it hasn't been good. It hasn't been good. I thought David was in a really good spot, but I think that if that tribe goes back next week, I think David is the one that leaves. I just don't see a situation now where Wardog and Wentworth go against each other.
I foresee Wentworth getting a hold of that at some point, that David is the one that was going after her, and then that's when it's going to get redirected.
Well, right. But I think even if she doesn't quite know everything that's going on, I think that the person that she has the least amount of relationship with is David over Wardog and Lauren. I think the three of them band together and take him out next week.
But do you think that it's kind of like an unwritten thing in the back of her head, like, we're veterans, we need to stick together kind of thing because we're outnumbered? Or, because, I mean, really, honestly, we haven't heard that much game talk from Wentworth at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that if things went differently, I think that they would have stuck together a little bit more, just for that fact, because you're absolutely right. I mean, let's take Big Brother 13 as the perfect example of, even though they were outnumbered, all the vets stuck together. And then Danny, who didn't stick together, Danny Donato, was the first one to leave on 13 after, you know, she kind of took off in her own direction and they knocked her out immediately. And then, you know, Jordan made it to Final Four and Rachel won. You know, that's just a perfect example of, like, when vets stick together, even though they're outnumbered, can do a lot of damage. My first instinct is to say that they should always stick together. But I'm sure she has at least some sort of idea. And I'm sure Wardog definitely knows that David is very much trying to get Wentworth out of the game. So I don't see, unless Wentworth and David call a truce and take out Wardog next week, I feel like it's David is going to be the one that goes.
I don't see him making it top five for sure. I mean, my gut's not telling me he's going this week or next week, but I'm on the fence, but my gut does tell me that he does go before Wentworth.
And yeah, I mean, I feel, if you asked me that last week, I would say Wentworth 100% leaves first. I would have said that David is the last vet standing. You know, I would say that he, out of all four of them, he would be the last one standing. And now I really feel like he's going to be the first one to go. Yeah, just tribe swaps will do that to you. You know, like it's just, it was a bad position to be in, and the fact that they all,
I don't think Warhol, I think he'd rather work with Wentworth over David any day, just from everything that we have seen previously. So I so could see that.
I agree. I think that's why War Dog will probably fill Kelly in on what's happening, you know, what's been happening, because War Dog is very well aware of how much David wanted Wentworth out of the game. So I feel like at this point, they're probably talking to her and telling her, you know, just how much he wants her out of the game. You know, I definitely see that happening. So unless Wentworth says having a vet is more important to me than not, you know, maybe she feels like if it gets back to Joe and Aubrey that he took out David, that they will feel like under attack from like Wentworth, like she'll do the same thing to us. I don't know. Maybe that would be the only reason why she wouldn't do it. But I think, you know, if they go back to tribal council, and they most likely will, let's be real, I think David goes. That's my prediction.
I believe that. I'm for that.
Yeah. So I want to see Edge of Extinction kind of play out and see where that is. And I'm ready for the merch, even though there's still a lot of people left in the game. There's like 14 people, I think, and they usually merge at 13 or 12. So we're definitely after this 2-hour episode, we'll be at a merge situation. It's just a matter of, do we merge the second hour of the 2-hour, or do we get like two more people out and then we do it? We'll see what happens. I'm curious. And I'm not completely willing to kind of throw in the towel with this season yet. But it's a very traditional thing for Survivor, where I love one season, and one season I'm like, not so great. Like every year of the two seasons. There hasn't been a lot where both seasons I've not liked or both seasons I loved. Usually it's like one is great and one's not so great. And I really like David versus Goliath in the fall. So it's due for a kind of a lackluster season. That's okay. I can handle it. We'll be okay. We'll live to watch another season. That's how this works. You know, that's the best part about reality TV. You don't like this one, the next one happens and it's completely different. And we go from there. Anyway, that's it for us this week. Next week we'll talk Top Chef finale. We'll really, you know, really get into Mental Samurai. I mean, I have a weird feeling I will discuss this at length. And we'll talk about the 2-hour episode of Survivor. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at Reality Alley. That's Reality AOIE. Priscilla is at Priscilla at PSILLA. And of course, we have a Facebook page, Edge of Reality. So lots of ways to get a hold of us, to get in touch with us, and tell us what you are watching. You're listening to us, which is great, but you can also tell us what you're watching as well. All right, guys. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Night, everyone.